Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hey, hey, welcome to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ. This segment starts our four-part series on making sense and finding peace in the chaos of today's world through consciousness. Imagine that. Today we have Barbara Hanclough, author of 12 books, including her most recent book, Awakening the Planetary Mind. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, how are you, CJ?
Good. I'm so glad to have fun with you today.
Yes,
so I wanted to start off and talk about your upbringing with your grandfather, with the Cherokee Celtic kind of stories of Earth, and that you were saying that the story of Earth was really pivotal for a lot of the work that you do today. I'm really curious, what was the story about, what is the Celtic Cherokee story about Earth?
Mm-hmm. Well, my grandfather was half Scottish and half Cherokee. And he also received teachings from his mother. His mother was a Cherokee teacher, in Kirkay. She was full blood. And so in our tradition, this particular branch of the Cherokee, the wisdom passes from the women to the men. So his mother passed the wisdom to him, and then he became my teacher. He also, of course, had my he was my father's father. So he had five children of his own. But he realized that the teaching that he needed to pass through me needed to come through during this period of time. In other words, he realized that if he passed it to one of his own children, that they would not be in the culture sufficiently to pass the teaching. And so he basically passed, this was a teaching, a training that went on for 12 years.
Wow.
And it was long, starting when I was about 5 years old and four or five years old. And his teaching was about the story of the Earth and the issue of the Earth going through various changes and cataclysms over time. And he was really pretty much ranging over 100,000 years, but especially the last 20 was his specialty. And so he gave me this whole story of the Earth and this big cataclysm that occurred 12,000 years ago. And it was fascinating. But then when I went to school, it didn't fit with anything that anybody was saying back in the 1950s when I went to school, 1940s. So I had a pretty hard time with it, because what I had been taught so consistently differed so radically from the sort of official scientific agreement on everything.
And
so then as I got older, especially in my 40s and 50s, science started to change. Science started to accept the fact that some cataclysms have occurred recently, especially because of the work of Velikovsky, who wrote a lot of books about that in the 1950s. So then I became a publisher, and I was a publisher for 20 years. And then finally a book came across my desk that was written by two English scientists that basically said exactly the same thing my grandfather said. And so our company published the American version of that book. It's called Cataclysm, Compelling Evidence for a Cosmic Disaster in 9500 B.C., and so I first of all approached the subject first as a publisher, but then once I published the book, then I wanted to write a book about the psychological and consciousness consequences of these issues. In other words, what does it do to us, and how have we been affected in the past and in the current time by some of these events that happened in the past. So I wrote a book about that, which came out in 2001, called Catastrophobia, which means fear of cataclysms. And then over the next 10 years, the amount of data coming in about these issues from science was a cavalcade of information. And so I wrote a revision of the book called Awakening the Planetary Mind, which is just coming out right now.
So it's an update.
The latest update on all the science and archaeology, because we know so much more now.
What do you think, as you mentioned earlier, that a cataclysm happened how many years ago then? So it was
at this point 11,500 years ago, but it actually started about 14,000 years ago. This was triggered by fragments from the Vela supernova that came into our solar system. This is, of course, a hypothesis by these two English scientists. And basically, people are falling in line with that, so there's not much of an argument about that.
Yeah.
But it really went over a period of maybe 2,500 years, and then the really big part of the cataclysm was 11,500 years ago. And we have a collective memory of that cataclysm and all the stories about the sinking of Atlantis. And everybody has heard about Atlantis, the disappearing on the island and all that. Well, that's a fragment of the memory of this cataclysm.
Hmm. And what do you think the impact is of that collective memory or trauma, I guess?
So then, of course, what I got into, I'm not a scientist, obviously. And so I got into the consciousness issues, which is what has it done to humankind to have gone through an experience like this. Mm-hmm. And so the book describes the cataclysm in graphic detail so that people can understand the scope of it. It affected the whole solar system and not just Earth. And then what I got into then was the idea that we are a multi-traumatized species, that the basic thesis of the book is before this cataclysm, we lived our sense of Earth was like the Garden of Eden. We had a sense of Earth being very peaceful and very safe, and we were a very simple, happy people. And there's quite a bit of evidence, actually, that people were actually quite developed also, not developed the way we are now, but more with stone technology and stuff like that. And so then we went. The cataclysm was not only a great trauma, but I think the survivalism after the cataclysm, from like maybe 9500 BC to about 600 BC, it might have been worse than going through the cataclysm itself, because survivalism is definitely no fun. So we have all of these memory imprints, and we don't really know whether they're past lives or whether they're racial memory. Certainly Freud believed that racial memory is carried literally in the DNA through the species. But what we do know for sure is that people do have these kind of traumatic memory banks in their consciousness. This comes up when people go to healers and they go into past lives. And then people, at some point when they're getting really deep into therapy, they start to work with the issue of an inner terror. And the question is, what's the source of the terror? And the reason this is so important is that we're living in a time now where people recognize that if you've been abused in a past life, or not so much past life, but more if you've had early childhood abuse, if you can remember what had happened to you, you can heal yourself from it. But as long as you walk around having experienced something like that but not knowing about it, there's a part of you that's very wounded and very much unavailable to your current consciousness. So this is all an issue of healing the inner trauma. And I'm working with the idea in many of my other books that the reason this is so important now is because we're in the middle of an awakening now. And a lot of thinkers at this point believe that our species is coming to an omega point. It's coming to a culmination of consciousness. And my part in that is, number one, I believe that's true. And then number two, I also know from experience that as people awaken, all of this stuff that hasn't been processed comes back up for them. Work with healing those kinds of issues as they come up. And a lot of healers, of course, are doing that. Body workers, regression therapists, a lot of healers are doing this.
Right. So let me see if I can recap. So it sounds like this cataclysm, this traumatic event that happened 11,500 years ago is still in our DNA. It's in our collective memory. And so now when we're going through an awakening period right now, and I think what you're referring to is the belief that in December 21st, 2012, that we're all going to go through a major shift, and that in your perspective, it's an awakening. So when that happens, all these past life traumas from this cataclysm is going to affect us.
And actually, CJ, what I'm working with, there's a group of people out there in the field, out in the planet, who are working with the theories of a Swedish biologist, Carl Johan Kalman. And Kalman believes that we came to a culmination of the Mayan calendar, October 28th, 2011, which is about 5 days ago at this point. And so I've been working with a bunch of groups, and we do feel that we really achieved a certain level of kind of coming more into the now and more current moment. And now we seem to be in a period like now and up through December 2012, I think, of breakdown, especially things like economic breakdown and societal breakdown.
And well, you know what? We have to go on commercial breaks. I'm going to hold that thought. Sorry, Beth. We'll hold that thought. So thank you, Barbara, for offering these ideas. If you want to know more about Barbara Hanclough or hear more about a four-part series on making sense and finding peace in the chaos of today's world, then continue listening to part two. Or check it out on iTunes or on Fired Up with CJ. Part two, we're going to be looking at combating dark energies with consciousness. Make sure to sign up for Barbara and Jerry's class next week in Seattle on Thursday, November 17th, by going to eastwestbookshop.com. We'll be right back.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Hello. everyone. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today we have lovely Barbara Handclough, who is talking to us about her book, The Waking the Planetary Mind, and her body of work, The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. And we are looking at how we can use these two bodies of work to find peace and chaos in today's world through consciousness. And so today's focus is really combating the dark energies that we have with consciousness. And right before on the previous segment, Barbara, you were saying that a lot of people are thinking that October 28th was the day of reckoning. Is that what you just said in the previous segment?
Well, yeah, first of all, we don't look at the end of the calendar as a day of reckoning. We look at it more like it's something that the Mayans sent through time, which is actually about 2,500 years, that's telling us that something extremely important is going on with our species right now. So it's all about this issue of the collective awakening, which I think many, many people are responding to very strongly. And for some reason, the Mayans seem to be like guides for this. And so one group of people are working with October 28, 2011, which is what I've been working with. But I also have always kept 2012 on the docket there because I think we're in the middle of a series of dates now that are awakening people. You know, a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to 11-11-2011, which I'm not participating in personally, but that's another example of a huge group of people. I heard that one website has people breathing in synchronicity, and I can't remember the name of this website, but I just heard about a week ago that there supposedly are 1 billion people breathing and synchronizing their breath on this one website. And I don't know if that's really, and I don't know if that's really true or not. It seems totally outrageous to me. But we certainly know that people are down occupying the parks, and it's happening. People are really refusing to be stopped anymore.
Yeah, and that was my next question. So you were saying that as a part of this cataclysm that happened 11,500 years ago during Atlantis and such, that our collective memory still has a memory of that trauma. We're awakening now. And as a result, I think that there's a lot of psychological expression, I think through anger and judgment and hatred and divisiveness. And you see that in politics. You see that in Occupy Wall Street. So what do you think is happening? Why is that happening?
Well, I think that this awakening is so intense for people, and I'll tell you why I think it's so intense, that people are reacting the way you're describing. That's a good description of how people are reacting. And the reason I think it's that way is actually coming from my grandfather. And by the way, my grandmother was Scottish and Irish and Welsh, and she was involved in all this too. Grandparents are great. And they basically were teachers about the idea that human beings need their story. And if they understand the story of their origins and where they came from, that they're sane. But that people who have lost their sense of origin and their story basically are pretty crazy. And this is the problem with Western culture. You know, I don't know if you saw that movie where that Coke bottle comes flying out of an airplane and lands in a jungle, and somebody in the Amazon finds a Coke bottle, and then the whole movie about that. Remember that movie? I don't even know what it's called. But white man is crazy, from my perspective, and Western culture is crazy. And so as we wake up and as we start to become who we really are, which is like fully energized beings with very powerful consciousness, knowing that what we think about creates reality and really matters. Then in the middle of that awakening, it's very chaotic. And I think the United States is going to be especially chaotic in the next year, because I think the United States has been so unawake because of the intensity of media and kind of the Hollywood fog in America. So that I think that's why it's the way it is. But it's pretty hard to live in the middle of it, I think.
Yeah, well, and the thing that's interesting is it seems like, if you, in a lot of spiritual realms, the whole, divisiveness, anger, it's all considered kind of demonic, and it kind of feeds in this whole, like, the world is ending, people, this total utter chaos. What's a different way of thinking about these? Is it dark energy? Is it bad? Is it evil, demonic? I mean, it's what we've been kind of trained to think.
Yeah. And this is, of course, the issue of the Christian model, that we're basically born with sin, and we're a flawed species, and we have to redeem ourselves, this whole idea, which I just don't buy into at all. As far as I'm concerned, when we're born, we're divine creatures and we're part of nature, and I just don't agree with that idea, but it's definitely a gripping idea in our culture at the current time.
Well, that's our story, right? If we do have stories, that's our story. right?
Yeah, and when people think that way, then they tend to talk about dark energy, and they tend to talk about evil, and they tend to talk about negativity. And I think it's much more useful to start to realize that what we're really facing here is inner trauma. Like one of the reasons I wrote Catastrophobia back in 2001 is that the Christian idea of the end of the world could create the end of the world. In other words, if enough people think that's what's going to happen,
we create a reality.
They create it, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think it's extremely, like for example, I don't think fundamentalists should be eligible for political office. And the reason I feel that way is because they believe that the end of the world is coming, and they don't really believe that we should develop culture and save our society and build realities for the future. And so when you're in politics, I think your job description is to create a better future in the current moment. And so I actually think that religious fundamentalists, it's fine if they go to church and live their lives, but I just don't think they belong in politics. And as you know, in the United States particularly, the degree to which fundamentalists have a lot of power in politics is pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah. And you're saying that in some ways it's antithetical to their beliefs. Like if they really believe that, then they really shouldn't be involved at all.
Yeah, it's not that I want to disagree with them. It's really fine with me if you think what you think, but it's not a good job description to hire a person to do a job when they think that the job's going to go away. It's really that simple.
Really good logical point, isn't it? So let's go back to the dark energies. How can we kind of become neutral? So I know that you say you don't buy into it. Help us not buy into the whole thing. So we're divine creatures. How can we actually, when these dark energies arise, how can we make peace with it and feel like neutral about it?
Yeah, I think first of all, by having a better understanding of where the energy is coming from is very helpful. And so that's, again, why I wrote Catastrophobia in the first place, was to start to help people. For instance, look at it this way, CJ. You got a preacher on the corner in the street in Seattle who's screaming that the world is coming to an end next Friday. And we don't have them on the street so much anymore, but we used to. And the idea here would be that this person really believes that. But where does that come from? And the theme of Catastrophobia is because we don't know what happened to us. It's like our inner consciousness is filled with all these movies of all these disasters. And then we keep on thinking that the disaster is coming in the future, but it already happened in the past, which I think is an extremely good definition, like for Revelation in the Bible or Daniel, some of the books in the Bible that are describing these gigantic cataclysms coming in the future. The ironic thing about that is this disaster was the whole solar system. And those cataclysms are actually kind of an astronomical thing in Revelation. You see what I mean?
You're tapping into a prior memory. Like, this is not real.
Yeah, and it's like a vivid movie in people's minds. Because, by the way, one of the things that I was able to investigate is, like, what happened to people? Well, when this thing happened, it was such a huge deal in the whole solar system that the magnetic field of the Earth was really screwed up for a while. And it's almost like people's, like, racial memory and their DNA and all that has been imprinted with this. But we do know for sure, just from contemporary psychology, that these are like movies within people's brains. And then they think it's the future. I mean, what are you supposed to think if you see a movie of a tsunami hitting, you know, the shore nearby and flooding everything? Well, you think it's going to come. You don't think of it as being something in the past, if you see what I mean. And of course,
I think
you
should just watch Disney movies.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the media, also the media and all the disaster movies. For example, the media has been really playing up to people's fears of disasters, which is a double-edged sword for me because on the one hand, the media is starting to force people to realize that they have these memories. But on the other hand, the media is also encouraging people to fear the future. And it's ridiculous to fear the future. You know, the only thing that matters is to take care of your current now, to take care of your family, your life, and your community.
Yeah, so in some ways, how we combat the dark energies with your conscious is realize that our own consciousness is being affected by the movies that we see, the stories that we hear, a potential trauma that we had in the past, and to be aware. And that's what actually will cure us. Is that right?
Yeah, and I also, then the other issue is spiritual awakening. And so the other side of what I'm working with down at East West is my husband Jerry and I are teaching the material from Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. And I've worked out a whole spiritual system for awakening based on nine dimensions of consciousness. And there are many, many teachers who have many different versions of spiritual teaching, so I don't want you to think that I think this is the only one, because I don't. But it does help people to awaken themselves spiritually, because people do much better with dealing with the dark and dealing with fears when they have something that they believe in that really works for them.
When you say opening up spiritually, what do you mean? Like, what part of my spirituality? Like, let's say I'm a Catholic, or I'm spiritual. So,
yeah.
What is it that you want me to awaken to?
Yeah, and none of this has anything to do with any religion. Although, sometimes when people really awaken, they find themselves leaving organized religion, because when you awaken yourself spiritually, you start to really find that you're extremely excited about nature and about art and about creativity. Because when you really start to realize what a magnificent universe we live in, your consciousness really shifts. And so then the idea that we are limited, sinful beings who were born with original sin and need to be redeemed doesn't work so well, if you see what I mean. So those are two mindsets, and when you go in the direction of original sin and needing to be redeemed, you're worried all the time and you're afraid of everything, including maybe you're going to go to hell.
But if you
work with awakening spiritually, then you start to be really in touch with just the beauty and creativity of the reality that we live in. And then I think mostly love is the real issue, ultimately, about spiritual awakening. When people overcome fear and overcome negativity and fear of the dark, they find that they're more able to be open and loving and really be a part of their own reality.
So the segment is about combating dark energies with consciousness. The first is to be aware that, in fact, I'm just getting a message. Oh, 30 seconds. The first thing is to be aware that our consciousness is being affected. The second is that spiritual awakening creates new stories. That's what I'm hearing. Anyways, we'll talk more about this on the next segment. Thank you for helping us kind of see a different perspective on dark energies that feel like they're around right now. Learn about Barbara make sense of finding peace and making sense and finding peace in the chaos of today's world through consciousness, and continue listening to our 4-part series on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. You can listen later to this show on iTunes or at www.firedupwithcj. Part 3's focus is on the 9 dimensions of consciousness, a technique for healing our traumas. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat. and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Imagine you had a way to protect yourself from cancer, depression, and disease, and dispel the nastiest bugs that attempt to hide undetected. Take a moment to wonder, how good does that feel? How powerful? Did you know that enough golden sunlight produces vitamin D in your body to protect itself against disease? Producing enough vitamin D can kill cancer cells, reduce blood pressure and inflammation, and even help with weight loss. This amazing little vitamin is actually not a vitamin at all, but a powerhouse of protection that can activate your body's innate healing ability, but only if you have enough in your blood to shine the light. Tune in and listen to award-winning author Dr. Lucinda Messer share how you can harness the power of sunlight to create a healthy body and mind. Her book, Powerful Medicine Vitamin D, Shedding Light on a Worldwide Health Crisis, is like having a vitamin D expert on hand to answer all your health questions. For more information, visit PowerfulD.com. That's PowerfulD.com.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ Liu, and this is Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And I'm here with Barbara Hanclow, and we are talking about two of her books, Awakening the Planetary Mind. And now we're going to shift over to Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. And so we've been talking about how we heal our traumas and how the nine dimensions of consciousness can help us, and how all of this will help us make sense and find peace in the chaos of today's world through consciousness. So this is part three of our four-part series on that topic. So welcome back, Barbara.
Hi, CJ.
So let's talk about the nine levels of consciousness and how do you think it can actually help heal? And when we talked before in the previous segment that, you know, one of the things that's coming up for people, you know, whether you believe in the Solanus thing or not, I mean, people are certainly experiencing trauma right now. And, you know, one of the things that could help as a solution is to recreate our stories. And one of them is through spiritual work, and the other is through opening their consciousness. So how do these nine levels of consciousness, how would that allow us to do that, and how does it work?
Well, the system itself came through in a channel state in 1995 from some beings who said they were from the Pleiades. And this was a very bizarre experience for me because I've been pretty much a kind of left-brain, quite scientific researcher, actually. And so I went, so when this information was coming through, I did a series of channelings. And then once all the information was in, it was tape recorded and it was put into files on my computer. And it came out as a book called The Pleiadian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light, which was very popular back in the mid-1990s. And so then my next issue with it was, because it was a channeled book, my next issue was, well, is this real stuff? Is this a fairy story? I mean, I was very concerned about the validity of this material, so I started studying it. And this involved, in other words, a bunch of material came through me that I didn't really understand myself. A lot of it had to do with quantum physics, and it had to do with cosmology, and it had to do with string theory, all kinds of stuff that I didn't really know myself. So I studied the material for 10 years and got all of the scientific background on what had come through. And then I published Alchemy of Nine Dimensions in 2004. And then the edition that we're using now is a revision of 2004 because a whole bunch more proof came through for the information that came through from these beings. And so basically what these beings said is they said that humans are capable of awakening nine dimensions of their consciousness. And they said that we're in 3D, in linear space and time. We're solid and we understand space and time. But they said that, in fact, we're in touch with these other dimensions. We just aren't aware of it. And, by the way, one of the things they said was they said that we used to be multidimensional, but the cataclysms shut us down, which I found really interesting. And these beings came through crystal clear on this stuff. They said, we got shut down. And then the most interesting thing they said way back in 1995 was that at the end of the Mayan calendar, that these nine dimensions would open. And what they said, it's really interesting to me now in retrospect. And what they said was, they said, when these dimensions open in the human field again, what's going to happen is there's going to be a lot of chaos and confusion, because suddenly it's like multiple realities are available to people, and nobody initially is going to know what to do with this. It's going to take a lot of time for people to figure out. So in my case, of course, I took responsibility for analyzing it scientifically, and then I taught it for 15 years, and I'm still teaching it. And I can tell you this, that since I've been teaching it for 15 years, I can definitely tell you that these dimensions are opening, because we can see, and my husband's a body worker and I'm a writer, and we can see such a huge change in people over 15 years that we know something is going on.
Do you mean like over the 15 years, like over the course that you're like, wow, this person I met 15 years ago and today there's a huge development in consciousness?
Well, let me give you a specific example of this. One of the interesting things they said was, they said crop circles, and these are the circles that are appearing in England in the wheat fields and stuff, which I'm sure most people are aware of this issue. Are people aware of that? I think they are.
I've been to England. It's a big phenomenon.
I think most people understand.
Yeah, the whole idea is that these crop circles appear out of nowhere. No one knows where they're from. They just mysteriously appear.
Yeah, and so these Pleiadians said that the best way to understand what's going on with these dimensions is to understand crop circles. And then they came through with a whole teaching about how crop circles occur, which is too complex to give on the phone here. But what was fascinating to me was that once that material came in, then I was watching more and more and more people get interested in crop circles. Literally millions of people reading books about it, going up to England to see them.
It's a huge thing in England. It's a big deal in England.
It's a huge phenomenon. It's a lot of Americans are into it too, and the Canadians. And so then what happens is, once you get interested in crop circles, the next thing that happens for you is you start to become fascinated with sacred geometry. And sacred geometry goes back to Pythagoras and Plato. And basically, sacred geometry is the background for why sunflowers have complex geometry and why geometrical solids create things chemically and all that. Most of us are aware that geometry is a very deep part of why things manifest and how they work on this planet. But what the Pleiadians are saying about that is, if you do get in touch with this geometrical sense of things, then everything expands for you. You see so much more in seashells. You see so much more in, say, a sunflower or a beautiful design or something like that. And like cultures like Islamic cultures have beautiful sacred geometry in their mosques, and a lot of churches have it and temples have it. And so the idea would be that being in tune with geometry and understanding it better awakens you and expands you. And I definitely have found that to be true. And so over this 17 year period, I've watched this whole phenomenon of the crop circles waking people up. And that just was a good example of seeing this change year by year by year. You go back 15, 18 years ago and use the term sacred geometry, and people would basically think, you're nuts. Like, what are you talking about? And yet a lot of people are familiar with an idea. Another good example would be, a lot of people are familiar with Emoto's material.
With the water. Yeah.
And the water, and the whole issue of how geometry and water is affected by human emotions, and it's affected by concepts and attitudes and all that. Well, this is, of course, a great demonstration of how what people think about actually creates geometrical forms. But this, again, is a very good example of an idea that you and I can chit-chat about now, but 15 years ago, people would think you're friggin' nuts. If you
Right.
Know what I mean.
Because
this Pleiadian system, the alchemy system, has all these different attributes like light and geometry and sound and the physics of the earth.
These are all the different nine dimensions that are out there. And if we could tune into it, we would feel the light and the sound and the earth, right?
And then, of course, as teachers, who's actually observed that to be true? The question would be, have students changed? And they've changed so profoundly that Jerry and I, it's kind of wonderful to do what we do, because we're just going, wow, check that out. It's like seeing your 2 or 3 year old figuring things out, you know? But the most important thing is, these ideas fill people with joy, happiness, creativity. It turns them on. They want to do more with their lives. And that's really the most important thing.
What is the process of what, how does one get initiated into these 9 levels of consciousness? What do you do with them to help them?
We explain in the dimensions in a very creative way, and then we take them through the dimensions, and Jerry does it with meditation. But until about a year ago, we taught these great big workshops. They go over a period of 2.5 days, and we created music for the workshops with Michael Stearns, who's a really wonderful composer. And what we've found now is people have developed themselves so much that we find that working with them for a couple of hours, it's possible to take them into this level of consciousness. But most importantly, while we were going through those years of creating those workshops, we created all the material for the workshop. So the Michael Stearns recording that opens 9 dimensions is available. Jerry reading, my husband reading the 9 dimensional teachings, is all that stuff. In other words, we created all that so that people can, you know, get into it for 15 or 20 or 30 bucks instead of going to a workshop. And I'm a real believer in this, by the way. The quest of my life has actually been, how do you find a way to make enlightenment and high consciousness available to people for a level that they can afford it?
For 20 bucks or less.
Really, that's one of the things, like when people read my books, they actually change just by reading the book. And so that's a cheap way to do it, as far as I can
tell. So on November, on today, November 17th, you'll be at eastwestbookshop.com. And so if you actually want to get one of these initiations, sign up. Right? Is that right? That's what this will experience.
Yeah, and then I'm going to sign Awakening the Planetary Mind after the workshop, so they can, both books will be there. In other words,
and then you have a CD. If you're not around, you can get a CD on your website, right? Of the same kind of.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so thank you so much in teaching us about the 9 dimensions. It's almost like the book goes into it. It's much more depth. This is kind of the appetizer version. So to learn more about Barbara or make sense of finding peace in the chaos of today's world through consciousness and continue listening to our 4-part series on Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Next, we're going to be talking about Egyptian wisdom on creating divine order in our lives. We will be right back.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today I have Barbara Hanclough, and we are talking about her newest book, Awakening the Planetary Mind, as well as The Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. Welcome back, Barbara.
Hi, CJ.
So what I wanted to do is we didn't have enough time in the last segment to talk about what are the nine dimensions. Can you tell us what they are?
Yeah, fortunately, these Pleiadians just came through with a really easy model. And they show a person lying on a table. The top of the table is one side of a pyramid, and then below the person's body is the other two sides of the pyramid. So they're like lying on top of the flat side of a pyramid. And then there's a canopy, like a circle over the person's body, and then there's five lines coming into it. And this model shows that the first dimension is at the bottom point of that triangle below the person's body. Mm-hmm. And then the second dimension is still below the person's body where they're lying. And then the third dimension is the person on the table, which is all of us in 3D. And then the fourth dimension is the collective mind and the archetypal realm, which is the result of all of the thoughts and feelings of humans on the planet. And then the higher dimensions come into that canopy. And so what they're showing is they're showing that the person on the table is activated by being grounded by the earth. And the first dimension is the iron core crystal in the center of the planet. And then the second dimension is all of the realm between the center and the surface, which is like the magma and all the rocks and on the mantle and all that part of the earth. And then here we are in 3D, the third dimension, being activated by the power of the earth. And then as a result of activation, we have consciousness, and then we emanate ideas and feelings and thought forms, which then create this collective mind. And the collective mind is where all of the archetypal ideas function and all the ideas of dark and light and politics and wars, that's all in the collective mind. And the collective mind, that fourth dimension, is actually palpable for people. So people can really feel the earth, and they can feel themselves, and they can feel this collective realm. But when you get to the higher dimensions, they're much more subtle, and they're much harder to detect. And so when we're teaching, we activate those first four levels, and then that's what makes it possible to detect these higher levels. And so the fifth dimension is the opening of the heart, which most people have experienced. And then the sixth dimension is the realm of geometry, which actually is being created by the opening of the heart, which is an interesting idea. And then the seventh dimension is sound, and this is very, and the eighth dimension is like light and the divine realm. And so this fits very well, for instance, with the Bible, where the Bible says that the word of God created sound, the word is the sound, and then the sound creates the geometry, and you could go back and forth on this. And then the ninth dimension is very interesting because the Pleiadians say that the ninth dimension is time. And they say that the Mayan calendar is what's functioning in the ninth dimension. And that's a very complex idea. But as you can see, these upper five dimensions are not as available to us as the first four. And so we need to understand those dimensions better in order to get in touch with them.
Okay, so in your work, like you're going to be doing at the East West Bookshop, is to actually activate the first four of those dimensions as a way to be able to access dimensions 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Is that right?
Yeah, and then because Jerry and I are teaching, and because we're knowledgeable, we also activate the upper five. So one of the reasons people like to actually come and work with us. And by the way, this a lot of other people are teaching this too. I just like to say, because Jerry and I can only do so much, and we also open those other upper five dimensions so that people can actually feel them. And it's actually pretty easy to do this once you get in tune with how this whole thing works. So we actually, in our workshops, we open all nine. And I'd like to say that it isn't just us opening, all the students are opening them too.
Interesting.
The most fun thing about this to me is this is a group experience. It's not like the teachers and the students. I don't like that at all.
Everyone's kind of working together in a community, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah.
So now in your book in the nine dimensions of, Awakening the Planetary Mind, you're talking about this idea of Maat. Is it Maat, the Egyptian goddess? What does that mean? When you say that you're talking about creating the Maat in the world.
Yeah, Maat is an Egyptian concept of balance. And I'm really ultimately very much an Egyptian teacher. Like, for example, the material that came through in Alchemy of Nine Dimensions is just about exactly the same as the Heliopolitan Mystery Schools, which were the old Egyptian mystery schools. It's also very similar to the Kabbalah. But the reason that my system seems to be important is because it's extremely simple. The Heliopolitan Mystery School teachings and the Kabbalah can be extremely complex. Mm-hmm. And so the concept of Maat comes from the mystery schools and comes from the Egyptian teachers. And what they taught, which is interesting regarding what came through me, was that the awakening of consciousness is the key to balance and harmony in society. And the Egyptians maintained the land of Egypt by the Nile as a peaceful, balanced world for about 3,000 years. Mm-hmm. And we have to really take that seriously as we see in America and Canada the breakdown going on now of like the states being a country that's only 250 years old. In other words, it's worth thinking of what a country like a culture like the Egyptians were actually doing. And so they devoted all of their teaching time and all of their instruction in society in terms of they devoted it to how to keep people balanced. And they did this by means of teaching initiation, which if people were awakened, then everybody would automatically pursue what they really want to do. So if a person wants to be a farmer, they're happy being a farmer. If a person wants to be a jeweler, they're happy being a jeweler. Whatever a person is doing, it's their lifetime work is actually part of their quest. And this is something that we've really lost touch with in the modern world.
I see. So when you actually do your work, you're also awakening your consciousness, which is actually the end effect is to actually create balance and harmony. That's the net goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the things you also have in your book is the six polarities. How does that also feed into this in terms of creating balance and order?
Yeah, that's my own personal part of it throughout all of this stuff I've done, I've been an astrologer, and I wrote and published three astrology books. And so one of the things that we work with in astrology is the house system, the system of the 12 houses. And I find it much more useful to work with it in terms of the six polarities. And so those actually fit with astrology. And the first one is the sense of self versus balance with the sense of the other. It's like the first and seventh house. And the second one is like being grounded. And then the eighth one is like letting go of everything you need except what you're really using. So these six polarities there's a whole teaching in alchemy about how to use those to actually balance your life quickly. And I think, CJ, I think you have a couple of small children, right? Yeah, because, where this came in for me was I had four children. And at the time, two of them were younger. And I was working for Bear & Company, running the marketing department, and as acquisitions editor, I was writing a book every 2 years, and I was out teaching almost every weekend. And I developed that simple balancing technique because I basically could not function unless I was totally balanced. And so that technique, at first I had to balance myself every 3 hours, and then once a day, then twice a week, and then finally, I got to the point where I actually got balanced. And then the interesting thing about it is when you're really in a state of balance, you don't have any problem doing everything. Mm-hmm. Like I can remember the key moment was I was in my office at Bear & Company running a marketing meeting, and I got a call from the school that one of the kids had a really serious problem. And I had no problem just leaving the meeting and going and dealing with that right away.
Yeah.
And yet, to tell you the truth, with some of those other phone calls you get from school, I might have said, you know what, I think you can deal with it down there. You know what I mean? You know, but when you're really in a state of balance, you can tell this matters
important.
And
yeah.
that, you can, you know, it's all prioritizing.
You know what? I totally get it because I did the same thing when I had little kids. So it's, actually people check out the wheel. It's the wheel of 12 houses. It's in the alchemy of 9 dimensions. And I can actually attest to using something very similar. It's about balancing polarities and it really does work if you're trying to balance. So thank you so much, Barbara, for being on the show and your ancient wisdom and for channeling all this incredible work and sharing it with us.
Thank you, CJ. And I just want you to know I really appreciate the support.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm really
there's a lot to do right now.
Exactly. So people come over to the East West Bookshop on Thursday today to sign up for the class. Hopefully there's still room. If you miss the show, you can tune in later at iTunes or at www.fireitupwithcj. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday when we'll be talking to Ragini Michaels about bringing a spirit of gratitude to your Thanksgiving table.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.